From I-95.5 Sports Center, this is iSports Saturday with Andre Errol Batiste.
iSports. It couldn't have been much better for Stephen Ames, the 2006 Players' Champion.
Tick-tock, tick-tock. The clock is ticking down on Australia as Trinidad and Tobago lead Australia with a chance to win their first World Netball Championship title.
That's it! St. Mary's College are the champions. They are the North Zone champions. If you hear my voice changing, it's because St. Mary's has done it.
It's now Trinidad and Tobago have done it. Two major celebrations from the Trinidad and Tobago players and fans around the stadium.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome again to another edition of iSports Saturday. Today is Saturday, the 30th of August, Saturday, 30th of July. I almost got August. Saturday, 30th of July, 2011. Tonight, we will be talking football in the main. We indeed, football is the topic tonight in the main. But first, as usual, let's bring you up to date with what's going on in terms of sports internationally. And we'll start with cricket because England are playing India right now in the second test match at Trent Bridge. Remember, England won the first test match. And if they can win by two matches in this series against India, England will become the number one ranked team in the world in test cricket. So, very important for England to do that. On day one, England were dismissed for 221. Dismissed for 221. Resuming today, resuming at 24 for one. Well, India were all out for 288. 288 India. Rahul Dravid made his second century of the series. He made 117. VVS Laxman made 54. Sachin Tendulkar still looking for his 100th century. He made 16. Suresh Raina, 12. Yuvraj Singh, 62. Captain Mahendra Singh Dhoni, 5. Harbhajan Singh went without scoring. Kumar went without scoring as well. Inchan Sharma made 3 and Srinath was 7 not out. At one stage, I should tell you people, India were 267 for 4. 267 for 4. And then here came none other than Stuart Broad. He got a hat-trick as he ran through the lower order of the Indian team and dismissed them for 288 all out. Bowling for England, it was Stuart Broad, 24.1 overs, 8 maiden, 6 for 46. Continuing his excellent form, both with bat and ball for his team. So, Stuart Broad, 6 for 46. Jimmy Anderson bowls, 26 overs, 8 maidens, 2 for 80. Tim Bresnan, 21 overs, 6 maidens, 2 for 48. Trott, who was injured during the game and may not bat, which is a concern, Jonathan Trott, he bowled 4 overs for 18 runs. He went to visit the specialist. We are uncertain whether he'll be able to bat for England in the second innings, which will be a major blow for the England team. Graham Swan, 12 overs, no maidens, none for 76. And Kevin Peterson, 4 overs, none for 13. So, batting a second time, England lost Alistair Cook, the man who was in so much good form before this series started. Well, he went today, caught by Yuvraj Singh, bowled by Inchan Sharma for 5. And England are 24 for 1. 24 for 1. That's the English score. 2 days gone in this game. And so clearly there will be a result in this game one way or the other unless rain intervenes. But as it stands right now, England will resume tomorrow, day 3, trailing by 43 runs with 9 wickets remaining. So this match is still up in the air. Moving quickly along to the sport of motor racing. Red Bull Sebastian Vettel edged out Lewis Hamilton's McLaren to take his 8th pole position of the season at the Hungarian Grand Prix. Red Bull broke a curfew on working overnight to overhaul Vettel's car, and the changes helped them get back on top. McLaren's Jenson Button lines up third ahead of Ferrari's Felipe Massa, who out-qualified Fernando Alonso for the first time in 2011. Last year's winner in Hungary, Mark Webber, starts in sixth for Red Bull. So, quite interesting as we look at that. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will be talking football in Trinidad and Tobago. Take a short break.
The Fearless One Files, Part 7. This is Part 7 in the Fearless Files series. Seven deadly sins can be described only one way in sports: greed. Okay. So please say after me, greed, greed, greed. Now repeat it quickly and do not let your tongue slip. Greed, 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 greed. What is your problem? Oh my word, leave something for somebody else now. Why are you eating everything so? Like you real thirsty boy. How you gulping down everything so fast? Sports in Trinidad and Tobago is suffering from greed. Greed, greed.
Ah, now I could talk. I eat and drink my belly full. Una, una. I'm not sure when I could get the chance like that again. And what next I prove?
Stay tuned for part 8 in the Fearless Files series. The truth in sports. One place only. iSports. iSports. With the Fearless One. Given all the comments surrounding the surface at the Hazley Crawford Stadium, Trinidad and Tobago is crying out for the truth. Mundo, what say you?
The reported $9.6 million is exorbitant. In fact, we did a quote a while ago, and that quote would not have come up to more than $5 million.
Ministry of Sports.
You want to correct that. That truck didn't cost $3 million. It cost $8.5 million.
Another tendering company.
It is my humble view that this project has been fraught with corruption.
Who can you believe? Inconsistency?
Want to say Concert was responsible for that? That is a misnomer, right? Because you can actually count on your fingers how many times we had Concert in that city.
Concert is a problem. Mr. Creed has writing from us. The Ministry of Sport has writing from us as well, which is Mr. Creed, the sport company, as well as NipDeck.
Anger.
I had the privilege of seeing certain correspondence generated by Trevor Hewitt, which suggests or appears, in my opinion, that Trevor has had contacts which we did not have.
So you see, it's a consequence of climatic condition, you know?
Surprise.
It doesn't reflect what was actually done concerning Mondo. The Mondo head office, our area manager, was actually called 2 days before the close of the tender.
We had a strong bid. You know what we were told? They were not satisfied with our response. You know what was the time frame we got to respond to that tender? I think it was a week and a half.
iSports on I-95.5 FM, the most influential name in sports. With sports on its sick bed and facing the possibility of no recovery, given the sick nature of those charged with the responsibility for sports, the country is crying out for the one doctor.
I need a doctor. Call me a doctor. I need a doctor, doctor, to bring me back to life.
Dr. Dre. Dr. Andre Errol Batiste, the only doctor that can be trusted. The doctor is no fraud. The doctor is trim, not overweight. This doctor cannot be bought. Fearless told the sports world one day he would pay it back. Say it on tape and lay it on it. He could play it back. You saved many in sports life before. Now maybe it's time to save some more. But we can never repay you. What you did for all of us is way more. But we ain't giving up fate, and you ain't giving up on us. Get up, Dre. Sports is dying. We need you. Continue. For God's sake, cuz.
For God's sake, cuz.
I'm running out of time.
Good evening. Welcome back to I-95.5. Tonight, as we told you, we want to talk football. We've been joined on the telephone by Mr. Alvin Cornell. So let me say welcome to Mr. Cornell first. Mr. Cornell, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Andre. How are you doing?
I'm all right. In the studio here with me already is Mr. Ken Butcher as well. Ken, welcome.
You're very unfortunate.
Hey, Alco. How are you going, brother?
Oh. All right. Thank you very much. Well, first, Mr. Cornell, let me start with you. I'm sure you would know by now the draw was made today for the World Cup qualifiers, and Trinidad and Tobago have been drawn in Group B along with Guyana, Barbados, and Bermuda. One team will progress from that group, which is the winner of the group, obviously, and the winner of that group will go on to join. This is the interesting part. The winner of that group will go on to join Mexico, Costa Rica, and the winner of Group A, which is either El Salvador, Suriname, Cayman Islands, or the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Well, in the first place, my thoughts started a little bit before that.
Okay.
Simply because of the fact for the past 7-8 months, we've done nothing.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? We've had a few training sessions, but that's only cosmetic.
Yeah.
In truth and fact, we've put nothing on the table in terms of planning. As a matter of fact, we had a warm-up game that was supposed to take place in a few days' time. That's also cancelled.
Yeah, we understand.
So really and truly, are we ready? The answer is no, we're not ready. But we can be ready, although I think it is getting a little bit late because the first leg of this is in September. And when you consider that between August and the middle of September, you're talking about 6 weeks. No football team prepares for a World Cup in 6 weeks, Andre. This is really a disastrous situation. And I blame the authorities simply because of the fact that they knew it was September. They knew that since January.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have put something in place at this point in time. I'm very disappointed in them. As a matter of fact, all I'm hearing is that nobody's doing anything. This is cancelled. That is cancelled. This is not taking place. This is unfair to the people of Trinidad and Tobago. I think that we deserve better than this. We've given full support for national teams playing in international matches. And I think it's absolutely unfair for the public to be faced with a situation where they all want to get to Brazil, but then there's no preparation to go to Brazil. So that's my take on this. I'm very disappointed.
Before I bring in Ken Butcher, of course, in looking through the format, Mr. Cornell, the way I read the format, because a lot of people are asking, how is it that Trinidad and Tobago have been drawn in this group? Well, apparently they use the ranking system, and Trinidad and Tobago was not in the top six teams because of inactivity. Trinidad and Tobago's ranking has plummeted. And,
exactly.
And so, in other words, what has happened here? The Trinidad and Tobago Football Federation has lost the plot. They did not realize by Trinidad and Tobago being inactive, it meant that we were not in the top six. That's why we did not get a bye. Like Jamaica, the United States, Mexico, Costa Rica, Honduras, and Cuba.
Yeah,
have been given byes.
That's exactly true.
So
but
nobody in Trinidad and Tobago seemed to realize
what?
That.
You know what? We have been given a rise in the ratings without doing anything.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I personally don't have a lot of time for the ratings. I don't accept the accuracy of it because it is too sort of guesstimate.
Yes.
However, be that as it may,
yeah.
Regardless of whatever preliminary program we had, we're not prepared for it. Whether we were pulling U.S. Virgin Islands and BVI,
mm-hmm.
we are not prepared for it. But on the other hand, let me make the point to you,
yes.
that I am very confident that the players in this country at this present time could be quite eligible to get to Brazil with proper preparation. You must remember that we had an under-17 team in 2007 who went to the World Cup in Korea. And we had an under-20 who went to the World Cup in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have, they're all in their 20s.
Yes.
And they're ready with a lot of experience because those teams were well prepared. They've got a lot of experience. And what they need is continuity. They have not had any. The continuity is sadly missing. You look at Jamaica. Their schedule between January and now was like 9 international matches, friendlies, plus the Gold Cup. Let's not even talk about Mexico and Costa Rica and Honduras and the others. So therefore, why are we talking now about the draw? The draw is irrelevant if we are not properly prepared. And at this stage, we're not properly prepared.
Alvin, may I say this? but before I get into it, I just want to let us as sportsmen just send at some time tonight a little prayer for David Toby, who was in a very serious accident. I don't know if you read about that today.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I was shocked just now. I mean, it's only just now I saw that David was in an accident and he's in a critical condition.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so maybe we could just send a little prayer out for him.
Yes, I certainly will. Yeah.
Coming back to this, however, if we have to salvage, I'm just looking at this, if we have to salvage, this might not be a bad thing, therefore, if we are in Group B with Guyana, Barbados, and Bermuda, we might start getting some practice games there because we are supposed to qualify from that group. If we had gone straight into the group, maybe with Mexico and Costa Rica or whatever it is, with the lack of preparation that we were all clamoring about early on, I mean, Dexter was on this station early on a few months ago talking about that. We have other, you know...
but Ken, don't go so far. Yeah. You remember Bermuda beat us the other day?
Yeah, I know.
So what are you talking about?
No, but
we had difficulty beating Guyana.
Yeah, but I know this, but I'm saying... It could have been worse if we were just thrown in with the wolves there up on top. At this stage, yeah, I'm trying to see what positive we could get out of the negatives. I mean, you yourself, you're saying that we have some talented players. We can pull them together still with 6 weeks.
Yes, it is possible. But when a TTFF is sitting down saying nothing and doing nothing, then we'd get nothing.
Yeah, sure.
Come on, we need this country needs to become a little bit mature. They must not mess around with the hundreds of thousands of people who enjoy soccer as spectators, as players, some as coaches, some as parents.
But
not taken the issue seriously.
But
so let's not jump the gun, Ken.
There's no point
talking about what's ahead until we decide what we're going to do now. No,
but I'm not jumping the gun. I'm looking at the reality of the situation, and I'm saying that, you know, we... From now until God knows when, we have been talking about the lack of professionalism, the lack of this, the lack of that.
That's right.
And it continued. What about it? What about this German coach that they brought here? I'm not hearing anything about him.
Well,
what's the latest?
To be honest with you, let me make it quite clear that I know very little about what's going on at the TTFF.
Yes.
But what I do know is that there is need for some type of action and some type of progressive action at this point in time. Now, I am talking strictly as a former player,
yes,
a former national coach, and somebody whose life has been built around football as one of the sports. And I am absolutely disappointed. I'm not personalizing it to any one individual who's responsible, but somebody's got to do something. Otherwise, we will be in a worse position as we are now. This is just not good enough. It's unacceptable. And if you guys on the radio, Andre, yourself, particularly Ken, who is a former national player, if you guys are prepared to sit down and accept it, hard luck. But as far as I'm concerned, somebody's got to do something.
Well, the reason we are discussing it, Mr. Coney, is because of exactly what you have just said. And in the past, we have discussed it many times before, the fact that Trinidad Tobago has not been playing any matches. That's why I wanted... I know you don't like... You said you don't favor the rating system, but I wanted to show you that how... If this is the system being used by FIFA, whether with favor or not, the Trinidad Tobago Football Federation needed to understand it and needed to understand that you needed to play matches to avoid certain wrongs. Now, I don't agree with Kenny. This is my philosophy is we haven't played enough matches. We're going to struggle against these four teams. I would have liked some more time to play practice matches. But what it means now is these matches are effectively almost going to be Trinidad Tobago's practice matches.
Absolutely.
Because, so that's why I don't agree with Ken's idea. I would have preferred to have drawn a bye by being higher.
Wait, one second. Don't get me wrong. I am saying we are presented with a situation.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is facing us.
Yeah.
How do we go forward? Mm-hmm. How do we make positives out of the negative situation that we are in?
But, you know, there are a number of things that can be done. But I think it's got to start from the TTFF.
But they're not responding.
The point about it is, you know, if we sit down and say this, we will all get old and die and nothing will happen. We keep saying that about West Indies cricket as well. But somebody's got to do something. Everybody seemed to have some sort of inner fear as to what to do at this point in time.
Alvin, you tell me, you make a suggestion and tell me what to do and I'll do it.
You know what? Somebody in the association or the federation will have to call the clubs together, called some sort of a referendum whereby people can express their views as to where the country goes from here, even in terms of where the funding is going to come from. Because at this point in time, I'm not prepared to wait on a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning to see on the newspaper, oh, we have no money for football, so there's no tour to Haiti. Come on, we've got to grow out of that. This is a very professional country. And every one of these people can air their views in a lot of different ways, except when it comes to sport.
Alvin, let's stick a pen right there. You know, I was reading papers today, and I'm saying this is the first time. You know, I used to have a pride in saying that cricket was the only national sporting organization that was never in a financial bind. I remember in the early days asking Aloy Lee Kwai, and I said, but Aloy, how it is that, you know, I do ever see cricket in a financial squeeze? You're always on, you know, ready. You always have your finances. And he told me that, you know, the type of preparation, the time of financial management and so. And today, for the first time, I am seeing that cricket now had to cancel some T20 because they had no funding. No.
That's right.
No. This is something new across the board. It's all the national sporting organizations right now in a bind, you know. It's not just only cricket or football.
Hold on. Their tour to Canada has been canceled because of a friendly.
Yes.
But they made a budget.
Yes.
And that budget was cut.
Yes.
But more than that,
yes,
is that the sports company or the people who are giving money,
yes,
have given $3 million to cricket,
yes,
to start a program of youngsters who they are paying every month to just play cricket. Mm. Really and truly, that is, as far as I'm concerned, that should not have had a priority. While I can understand the senior team with a few players playing as professionals, getting a subvention for every month to be able to continually play cricket, that's fine. But $3 million has been given there. And this country is going to go to one of the biggest tournaments in the world. And in order to prepare it, they're saying they can't get the money. Come on, somebody's got to grow up here. Where are your priorities?
Well, and you know it's interesting you will say that, Mr. Coney, because that is exactly what we spoke. When we spoke with Darren Ganga the other day, actually, to be honest, on Thursday, because after we spoke with him, then all of a sudden, because they were not telling anybody that the guys were not being paid their money, obviously. But when we spoke about it, and we actually got him to admit that no money at all was received, the next day, we see this release saying that the Ministry of Sport is paying the money, which is also interesting, because my understanding at first was it was the sports company that was going to pay the money. So that confusion right now has me very confused. Ken will know that, because the releases today all said the Ministry of Sport has done this. It has never said nothing about the sports company. It's almost like the sports company.
The Ministry of Sport deals with the elite program, for funding for elite athletes. The sport company deal with, I think there's about 10 or 12.
No, I understand that. But even the Pro League, the release says the Ministry of Sport is giving money for the Pro League.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
And the Ministry of Sport is giving money for boxing. So I'm wondering who is...
Let me make this point quickly.
Yes.
Because, you know, I promised you that I can only stay a
short time,
remember?
Yes.
Right. Ken will tell you that one of the people who wrote the rules and regulations for the Sports Commission was me. Right? And this was way back in 1986. It has not changed much. But the principle of delegating money to organizations have changed. The whole process is wrong.
Yeah, sure.
Process should be used. The sports company should be entertaining in the month of January all subventions and sitting down and study them and approve all those subventions which can be approved by the government at that point in time. After that, it is only a payout as the events come by during the course of the year.
Yeah.
That's the procedure. These guys are now doing it on a piecemeal basis.
Ad hoc, yeah.
One for one, the other for the other. This is unreal. 38,000 kids were taught the various sports in the summer of last year. This year, not one single kid was brought to the playing fields.
Yeah.
Something's got to be wrong with that. And I am not into politics. But at the same time, I understand the feeling of kids because I deal with them every day. And this is wrong. And somebody, and I think both of you all are the most appropriate people to do it. You've got a media to do it, and you've got to open your mouth. We cannot afford to be afraid anymore because the worst cannot go on.
Mr. Coney, I can sense in this hearing your voice how much all of this means to you in terms of they're really, as Ken said, frustrated. And but do you feel, honestly, now that after we've spoken here and that the people of Trinidad and Tobago understand this, and the only way I feel, just following on from what you've said, is that the Ministry of Sport and the sports company will have to get involved, because maybe by the lack of funding, it's possibly the only way that the Trinidad and Tobago Football Federation could change its way. I'm guessing.
You know something? If funding was the answer to the development of sport, places like Germany and America and China would have been the best sports people in the world. Sport must have good management. Mm. Sport must have good administration. Sport must be free out of political personalities. Sport does not have any room for it. We are putting people into those areas. And because of this, they're politicizing it and taking away the value of the development of sport. So it is not about money only. If you could make a good case for funding and you have it well documented and your management skills are working with your technical side, your administrative, your psychological side, then people will fund it. But if you don't have anything, you'll get nothing.
But don't you feel, Mr. Cornell, that's following on from what you've just said, that one of the problems, and I mean, we're not being political, but we're being factual, I hope you understand this, one of the problems is, without Jack Warner, they are not accustomed, they mean the Trinidad and Tobago Football Federation, are not accustomed to doing anything.
Well, if that is the case, then something is radically wrong, because in truth and fact, they've had a football federation going for the last whenever so long.
Yes.
And if at this point in time, they're no longer capable of doing it, then get rid of them. Mm. Move them out. That's why you have clubs. And this is a crucial situation. This has nothing to do with personalities. This has to do with a sport that I have learned to live for the last 60 years. Mm. And if anybody, and I'm sure that Ken is definitely one,
yes,
and there are hundreds of others across the country. But you know what? It's not affecting our pockets, mm-hmm, so therefore we don't care. If we were part of a union, we'd probably be lining up downstairs to march. But because it doesn't affect us, nobody cares.
We might have to talk to Roger then.
I don't know about that. Mm. But anyhow, gentlemen,
thanks
for your time.
Thank you very
it.
Much. Thank yeah, you very yeah, much. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
I've been like you're going to church now, so don't forget time, David. Huh?
I certainly would.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. Thanks
bye.
A lot.
Okay, brother.
Bye.
Yeah. Okay, bye-bye. Thanks,
Evan. Before we talk to someone else as well, yeah. I mean, Alvin Connie, very emotional day, Ken Butcher.
Yeah, but you see, I know Alvin is very passionate as well, like most of us are, but we have been beaten so often. I think we have become immune to the licks now. But as I said early on, it is not just football. Right now, I mean, since the beginning of this year, I don't know what's happening in terms of the funding into the ministry and the sports company. Alvin spoke about being part of the sports commission and developing the sports commission. Mm-hmm. He's right. Way back in 1985, I think it was, when we were developing a document, the manifesto. I was in the ONR in those days, going into the NAR, going into the election. We were developing what was best for sport in the country, and Alvin was one of the persons that I had close to me. I was the youth officer of the NAR then, and I'd ask him for advice, and we got a little team together, and we developed the National Sports Authority, and we developed the OPAX lottery, we had called it. And when I came into office in 1987, we brought the OPAX lottery, and we called it the instant lottery. And that money was to fund sport alone. Mm. So we would have no problems. That was the whole concept of the thing, that funding was important. We were always struggling, and we said, okay. And we looked at other places. We looked at other places in the world, and we said, right, we will go with that. Now, some years ago, I think way back in 2005, we got the Australians to come. They recommended certain things to us, and we never implemented that. We were supposed to establish the sports commission, which will take us forward now, and we will not be in the problems that we are here today. 2005 and 2011, the sports commission is not established as yet.
But are you still confused by something I said before about this? What is the role of the sports company and the Ministry of Sport? Because the press release yesterday was very, very confusing.
Well, what should have happened really is that the sports commission should have been established. Yeah. When we established the sports company, it was an interim measure, and one of the mandates of the sports company was to establish the sports commission. Now, the sports commission was going to take us about 2 or 3 years because of the going to the legal committee, this, that, they are coming to parliament, being debated and so. So in the meantime, we decided to implement some of the other components that the sports commission recommended. So we started to deal with facilities and other areas so that once the sports commission was established, there would be a smooth transition. Now, I don't know what is the situation. I haven't heard any pronouncements in terms of if the sports commission is still being established. So what we did in the meantime as well, in the first year I was there, and we established the sports company, we took 10 disciplines of sport from the ministry. The ministry sent 10 sporting disciplines to the sports company, and the sports company will now get funds, and the duty of the sports company was to fund and administer those 10 disciplines and get them financially viable and so, right? And we started to work with that. Those were the 10. I think when I left there, they included some more. And then there seems to be some confusion now as to who the sports company is funding and who the ministry is funding, because you have, closer to netball a little bit.
All right, but we've just been joined by a good friend, Dr. Alvin Henderson.
Okay,
let's welcome Dr. Henderson. Dr. Henderson, sorry for keeping you waiting so long.
Hey, Alvin.
Good evening.
Yeah, I'm listening to part of the discussion, just the last few minutes. But good evening to all. Good evening to all. I'm hearing Ken's voice and Alvin's voice. I don't know who else is on the panel.
Well, Alvin has just left us for a while. But let me just bring you up today. We were discussing the fact that the draw was made today, and Trinidad and Tobago has been drawn in Group B. I'm talking about the World Cup qualifying draw, that is.
Yeah.
Trinidad and Tobago have been drawn in Group B with Guyana, Barbados, and Bermuda. One team will progress from that group and go in.
I saw the draw today.
I looked at it live. Okay.
And my thoughts were from the start that we are in plenty trouble because we are starting very early. We have to finish our round of matches, first round of matches by November.
Mm-hmm.
Our team hasn't played for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And to tell you the honest truth, we haven't seen a Trinidad team, so we don't know exactly where we are at all. Judging from the teams that we have to play in the first round, there is no guarantee that we could get through that round. But I have high hopes that we will. If we do, we then bounce up with Mexico and
Costa Rica.
And Costa Rica.
And El Salvador, most likely.
And possibly El Salvador.
Yes.
Which two teams come
and
out
only
of
two
that
go out. Only two come out of that group.
Two come out of that group. But that will probably be another 6 months into qualifying. So we have a very hard road to qualify. It's not impossible road to qualify. We have not because of the situation with our coach, well, recent coach Russell Atapi, and then afterwards on our game situation and preparation, we have not had a team in as other teams have been playing. We are far behind. It's going to be very difficult. Would I say impossible? I never say impossible, because in football anything could happen. We would have to, in my opinion, to look to many of our European players, quite a few of our European players, and possibly players who we have never seen play for Trinidad yet, to be able to try and see if we can qualify. Jamaica did it in 1998. I mean, when they were halfway through in qualifying, had to change their whole picture and bring in players from English players who were of Jamaican parentage. We may have to do something similar in this occasion.
But Alvin, who is going to make those decisions?
Well, the coach has to make those decisions. He has to pick the players that he feels necessary to be able to give winning games. He has been brought in to win games. That's his primary primary role. He's not brought in to develop. He is not here as a developmental coach.
Yeah, sure.
He is here as a coach to win games.
To win a tournament,
To win a tournament to get us to the World Cup. So that coach has to decide. He has to. I've heard that he's been looking. he's got getting help from many of the coaches who've been here before and been looking at players outside. He has to find the right mix, and that mix has to be players who are seasoned players already and players who we don't have to develop. We are looking to develop players to get into the 2014 World Cup. It's too late. We can only develop some young players for the 2018 World Cup, but that will be few in between.
I wasn't looking at the development side. I was looking at the authority, to have the authority and the support to have that done. Because what we're going to be dealing here with, and remember we have that still outstanding, if he is going to be looking for players outside, you have to be negotiating some kind of financial arrangements with them to coming back home. I mean, earlier on we were talking about lack of funding for all the national sporting organizations. How do you see us going forward in the absence of finances?
I am going on the fact that there was a commitment given by our Prime Minister that she will fund our preparations for World Cup 2014. From her office. I know it's going to be problems with money all around, especially in light of what's happening with the union problems in recent weeks and months. Our players that we have to get will have to want to play for international football with a chance of possibly making a World Cup as the bait. Many of the players who we should go after will probably never get a chance to play international football.
Yeah, sure.
And we should use that as a carrot and a stick to try and get them into our fold so that they will at least have a half a chance of getting into the final round of a World Cup or even at best getting into a World Cup.
All right.
We've done it once before. Not to say that we can't do it again. And we came very close on two other occasions. So it's not impossible for us to have a long run, and it's not impossible for those players to get international football under their belts where they would never get it in the countries that they would be
founded. So if we had to do something, it means that you had to do it now, and it meant that some little group should come together and say, hey guys, you know, somebody that is objective and who maybe the Federation would listen to impartially and say, look, we have a chance to qualify. This is what needs to be done. We are having difficulty getting the finances or whatever it is. You're saying that the Prime Minister at the end of the day did make that promise. Let us hold her to the promise and let us go and negotiate. Who would be the persons to do that?
Right now the biggest problem that we have is that our federation itself is in a little bit of a turmoil.
Disarray.
Yes, disarray, because Mr. Warner is no longer connected with football, and they have depended on him
so much
in the past for almost every season to cross the T's and dot the I's. So, I think what has to happen, and what I would like to see happening very soon, is that the stakeholders in football get together in an emergency meeting of some kind, and that we can come and discuss what needs to be done and form some form of committee, an assistance committee or an organizing committee to try and get us into the World Cup.
I wonder.
We have had local organizing committees for World Cups at home. I see no reason why we can't have a local organizing committee for a World Cup that we are trying to get to abroad.
All right, well, Dr. Henderson, let's hold on for a while because we have David John Williams on the line too as well. So let me bring in David John Williams. Mr. Williams, welcome.
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening, Trinidad Tobago. Good evening, Arvin. Good evening, Ken.
Hey, David. Good evening to you.
David John Williams, you told me earlier about the draw. You're surprised, worried, concerned, indifferent?
Well, Arvin, straight off, looking at the draw straight off, as we spoke earlier on the telephone, looking at Group A, I was concerned about Group A and Group B, because Group A and Group B were relevant to Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes.
And of course, Group 2 in the second round, and Group 2 which consisted of Costa Rica and Mexico. So when you look at Group A, listening from the broadcast and listening to the pundits there, it's going to look like El Salvador.
Yes.
A very good chance coming out of the group with Barbados, Guyana, and of course
Bermuda.
Bearing in mind that Bermuda beat a Trinidad Tobago team at home in the last qualifying.
Yes.
But having said that, we stand a very good chance despite our inactivity, and our inactivity has been a big, big concern. We have been inactive for almost 10 months now. Our chances of getting probably one international before the September is likely, and that's what we're hearing against India. So we go into a group with Mexico, Costa Rica, the two big guns in that group, not to mention El Salvador. Costa Rica just came off playing in the Copa America as an invited team, and just came off playing the CONCACAF World Cup. Mexico just annihilated the United States in the CONCACAF World Cup and turned around 23 teams to the Copa America. So they are absolutely well prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves Trinidad in a situation of, boy, what do we really do? We just have to hope for the old adage, the ball is wrong, it's 11 against 11, the size of the goalpost is the same, and anything can happen in football for us to stand a chance of even going into the last six.
When you look at the overall situation, David John Williams, early on we were talking about administration. Alvin Cornell was stretching on administration, Ken Butcher too as well. And the whole question of the Trinidad Tobago Football Federation are now inactive or in disarray, as we, again, as Dr. Alvin Anderson has also remarked, is something needed? As an owner of one of the top clubs in Trinidad Tobago, what can be done to maybe make some gigantic strides in terms of the administration of the Trinidad Tobago Football Federation to assist our football?
Well, Andrew, I just don't want... Let's leave off the administration for now and let's focus on what's happening with this World Cup qualifying. We have to make a conscious decision. The administration of football has been in a disarray for the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
We have done nothing in terms of training since the last Winter Cup.
Yes.
We have a history of changing coaches. Do we make a conscious decision that, look, it's difficult for us to qualify for Brazil 2014. If you look at our current under-20 squad, those players are going to be 27 years come 2018, when the next World Cup goes along after Brazil, which is going to be Russia 2018. The under-23 team, those players are going to be close to 30. Our under-17 team in 2018 is going to be 24. So do we decide, listen, let us put our under-20 team or a bunch of young players into this qualifying campaign, maybe an under-23 team with some senior players like Kenwin Jones, Carlos Edwards, etc., etc. Have them properly. If we qualify, it's going to be a big bonus. If we don't qualify, going into 2018, we have a bunch of players, younger, hungrier, with a lot of international experience under their belt to qualify for Russia 2018 and possibly Qatar 2022. So we have to think solution to the problem, Andrew, rather than dwelling on the problem, boy, would we qualify? We already know that it's a difficult situation. Do we invest our
money? But who will... I know we came at that question that Ken Butcher asked earlier. Who will make that decision?
Well, Andrew, the stakeholders of Trinidad Tobago have to come together, and Trinidad Tobago football have to come together and decide. I mean, you look around in the Pro League right now, and you see in the papers, which is a fact, funding has become very difficult. You see that the sports company budget has been cut by 40% when I looked at the television about a month ago when the Joint Select Committee was meeting with the sports company. So we see cricket has sitting at back for funding. We see the summer camps have been cancelled. We see the Goodwill Games is in trouble. And obviously, there is a serious problem in terms of funding and administration of football and sports in Trinidad and Tobago. And how do we correct that? We have to come together and voice our opinion loudly.
David, somebody has to call the stakeholders together.
And I agree. And Ken, I can't agree with you more.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't agree with Alvin more that we have to stand up in unison in sport in general and understand what sport means to a country as Trinidad and Tobago. I want to go back into history. We grew up in an era where we wrote common entrance and we tried to go to the secondary schools, which was normally the QRC, the Fatimas, the Naprima, the Presentations, and the other traditional schools in Trinidad and Tobago. Over the years, we have realized that the education system needed to be changed. So we bought in the junior secondary and the senior secondary schools where we could have picked up people doing a trade, whether it's welding, electrical, carpentry, etc., etc. But you know what? We did nothing for sport. So in the schools, in the education system, there was nothing to say, let us develop our netball after we won a championship in 1979. There was nothing proper to develop a proper academy for athletics after we won a gold medal in 1976. And we can go on and on. There was nothing proper in place after we failed in 1989 by 1 point to qualify for Italy 1990. And I could go back even to 1973 when we failed to qualify for Haiti. What did we put in place? There was no thinking, no national policy, or even if there was a national policy, it was never implemented as far as sports was concerned.
Let me bring in Dr. Alvin Anderson. Dr. Anderson, you would have heard from David John Williams. Ken Butcher had to say it too as well. Your thoughts in terms of going forward. Do you agree with the idea that there's a possibility that we should just concede 2014?
Well, the decision actually has already been made. When a decision was being made about the coach, it was the federation's executive felt that we needed to qualify for 2014. They didn't want to wait until 2018. The executive committee felt that we should have a coach that will assist us and help us to qualify for 2014. And in nature, the type of coach that was sought was a coach that who had those qualities that could win football games, a Ben Hacker-type coach that can get you on a short-term to a World Cup, choosing quality players and using astute tactics to get us there. Yes, we have a large number of young players who will be on the horizon for 2018, but the decision has already been made with this coach that we have that we are going to try to qualify for 2014.
Alvin, stick up in there, because listening to David just now there, from a business standpoint, and I think David is coming from the business background that he has, and I want to endorse that a little bit. It come like throwing good money after bad.
Good money after bad money.
We
started on the wrong foot. We have a federation that is in disarray because of what has happened in FIFA. Do we make a conscious decision? Yes,
David, especially in the economic situation that we find ourselves right now, I think you were making the point that the sports company had their budget cut back by 40%. They are struggling in terms of getting funding. The national sporting organizations across the board are struggling, every one of them struggling to get funding. And if we are to go forward, whether we like it or not, we have to spend money, and we don't have the money. The corporate citizens, they are stretched because we have a limited amount of corporate sponsors that identify with sports. And it's the same people we keep going back to over and over and over again. And as a result of that, we have stretched them to the limit. And I really want to think, but the thing I was trying to do was to get from you and Alvin, and I wanted to really put Andre here on the spot. Is it possible to get Andre and maybe I-95 to have some kind of stakeholders meeting, call outside there, everybody, and we convene whether it is that...
And a full like a telecom on radio.
Where the
views of the stakeholders of Trinidad and Tobago football and by extension Trinidad and Tobago sports air their views in a constructive and meaningful way that can be exposed to the public ears and eyes. Coming out of that,
we should develop some points for action and then take it forward. And I think if we could get all the views of the major stakeholders, all stakeholders, coming and talking, but somebody, the point I was making is somebody needs to convene it. Now, I can't convene it, you can't convene it, Alvin can't convene it, we will certainly contribute. But we need somebody to pull that together. And the somebody is the one that I'm trying to find out. Who is that somebody?
Well, at the end of the day, Ken, what you find happening, and I just want to keep the focus now on the football aspect of it. We have the City Pro League. When you look at the City Pro League or professional football in Trinidad and Tobago, it is almost 12 years old. It's an industry that depends heavily on people to invest in the football, people that are passionate about the football, people who want to see the football go somewhere. But you know what? The professional football in Trinidad and Tobago has not been treated as an industry that is growing. It has not been treated as an industry that is providing employment for people. It hasn't been treated as an industry that is touching the lives of 600, 700, 800 youth players per year. You know, if you compare what football can do, and I fear Andrew might knock me for this, but if you compare what football can do as opposed to horse racing in an industry, it is chalk and cheese. And I fear that the movers and the shakers in that industry may want to hang me for that. But it is a fact. And we have to understand, if you look at what happened in Germany 2006, if you look what happened in Beijing in 2008, I mean, sport is the only thing that can make a nation stop. Look what happened when Brian Lara scored 400 and when Brian Lara beat Sakari Toba's record. No politician, I dare say, whether it is the President of the United States, whether it's the Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago, whether it's the President of Venezuela, whether it is whoever, whether it's Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, cannot make the world stop and look. Sport can do that.
You know, let me bring in Dr. Henderson. Dr. Henderson, Ken Butcher's point is essential, but to get a stakeholders meeting, you need the stakeholders to buy into it, and the stakeholders would be obviously the Trinidad and Tobago Football Federation and the Ministry of Sport and the sports company as well. They would all need to come together to buy in and to agree with a policy going forward. I'm just concerned that all three parties are not on the, well, at least maybe two, maybe the sports company and the Ministry of Sport on the same page. I can understand that, but I'm not sure if the Trinidad and Tobago Football Federation is on that same page.
Well, as I said, right now, I'm not sure if the Football Federation has reacted in any way to the fact that the advisor has been suspended, and we don't know how that situation is going to turn out. But I think Ken was asking, who can call it? I think even a major sponsor with interest in the football can call it. There's no reason that a major sponsor can't call it. Or even the Pro League acting on behalf of concerned footballers.
That's what I was thinking. The Pro League really had the authority. I mean, I shouldn't say the authority, but legitimately seen that they are the leading football organization in Trinidad and Tobago. They should be the one to get involved.
I'm prepared to do something like that, because I think we are at the crossroads of football in Trinidad and Tobago, and we need to make hard, conscious decisions. You know, coming out of Germany 2006, we really let a great opportunity slip. If you look at the history of Trinidad and Tobago football, we have always been there and thereabout. In 1973, we almost qualified for a referee that rubbed the daylight out of us. In 1989, when we didn't have a professional league and we had players who were playing at home, and Avery Gallic Cummings, who still had the team as a club team, we failed by 1 point through some misgivings and some lack of planning, but we almost qualified. We qualified for Germany 2006. So a nation of 1.2 million people has shown that we have the capacity, we have the talent, we have the wherewithal if we put it in proper planning to reach a World Cup. And that speaks volumes for a small nation.
All right. I want to thank both of you all for your time, certainly. I want to thank Dr. Alvin Henderson. I want to thank David John Williams. We will continue to monitor all that is going on, and let us hope indeed. We don't want Alvin Corneal to go away as he's ended tonight. He looks sounded very down and very depressed. Thank you both, gentlemen.
Yeah, but
thanks.
He's going to church, so I think by the time he's finished, he'll be
all right. Yeah, let's hope he prays for that, as we said, obviously, for Dr. David Toby.
Yeah.
We understand it. And at the same time, let's also say commiserations to the family of Gideon Maxim, who works at I-95.5, who passed away yesterday. So commiserations certainly to him. But we've been joined by two other men who are also very, very interested in terms of football in Trinidad and Tobago. One is Mr. Jamal Shabazz, the coach of Caledonia AIA, Nilamasi Caledonia AIA. He's joined us. Mr. Jamal Shabazz, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me here.
And we've been also joined by Mr. Tanzi Thompson, a man who holds many portfolios of late. He's been involved in...
I saw him dancing on an advertisement, and you know, it's not easy.
Yes, I won't tell you who the lady he's dancing with right now, obviously, on the air, but good night to Mrs. Marilyn Ramkissoon, wherever she is, certainly in Trinidad and Tobago. That's Rianne Ramkissoon's mom. But Rianne is not with me tonight, people. I should tell you that Orlando is here. Orlando Sebro is here, deputizing for Rianne Ramkissoon. In the meantime, that's, of course, Tanzi Thompson. Tanzi, welcome as well.
Well, thank you very much, Andrew. I'm very excited to come here tonight because I was listening to it passing on the driving on the road, and I must say I have very good news for you all from the Veteran Footballers Foundation. We have been meeting several times over the last month or two, and on the 4th of September, well, we're still waiting on confirmation from the City Hall, from the Port of Spain City Corporation. I tried to get there where we were hoping to have an open forum. I wasn't allowed yet because I have to consult with Gwen Minkus and all of these guys, Capit, and we have been meeting veteran footballers. We're hoping that we can get all stakeholders to come together with a positive move to move forward. So once it's confirmed, the date is free, the 4th of September at the Town Hall, where all stakeholders are invited, and we'll be having an open forum to discuss the way forward, because as it is now, it's very critical that we do this and allow people to participate in the future of football. A lot of people out there have been looking on for many, many years without being able to have an input. This is an opportunity for Trinidad and Tobago to really move forward, come together, have ideas, and at the end of the one goal, one Trinidad, success for us all. So I thought I should come here, even not having the word from Gwen, and he's the president of the Veteran Footballers Foundation. But we are very vibrant, bro. And don't mind, we are not too vocal at the moment, but we intend to be very, very vocal because we have played the game, all of us, including Ken and everybody.
Yeah, but don't put me down in the veterans thing yet, because you know, I'm reserved.
All right, on that note, let me bring in Jamal. So, Jamal, the draw has been made. Trying to make it been drawn with a country you coached on many an occasion, Guyana, Barbados, and Bermuda. What are your thoughts?
Well, it could be the better thing
for us right now. Will you be coaching Guyana?
Well, actually, I have an offer on the table.
Tell us now, you know, because the door is not far away.
I have an offer on the table with Guyana. I've not yet decided. I'm still all trying to be good, but given all the financial woes we're hearing about funding and sport and the government, I think I might get into politics. That looked like a more viable option right now with what is passing for politics in Trinidad and Tobago.
But as we go in terms of the football, looking at the draw, what happens to Trinidad and Tobago? No, a tough draw. We haven't played any. In other words, what Ken was remarking on, these are our warm-up matches now.
Yeah, it's on paper it looks easy traditionally.
Yeah.
But we got to remember Bermuda beat us recently.
Correct. We have to struggle against Guyana sometimes.
Guyana is much underrated.
Yes.
And underestimated, and always going to be a difficult opponent home. The fact that the points made by the two Alvins,
yes,
and by Ken earlier about the lack of activity of the team. However, just a quote from Ken again, it's still all not lost, you know, in that there's still Caribbean teams that we've, you know, traditionally been stronger than, and given 6 weeks, you know, with the right type of work, the right type of investment, the right planning, we should be able to start and hold our own against these opponents.
Even though we have no warm-up match against Haiti, as we were made to understand yesterday, the warm-up match has been cancelled.
Well, I think we have a coach who's got some experience. He's coaching a
side that's not playing any football.
Right, but he has also got to make literally bread out of stone. I know there is, and I'm talking now from being an employee in the Federation, I know there is something on the cards for a game in Trinidad on the 21st of this month, but that is not a FIFA date,
okay.
So it will only involve the local base players and possibly the players in the MLS. Right? But we all know how important the players who are playing in Europe, you know, are to the team. So, but there isn't any more FIFA days before.
Mm-hmm. what went wrong with the planning? And the reason I'm saying this is that the way the draw was done is that based on your standings, you were seeded 1-6. Trinidad Tobago, because of their inactivity, Trinidad Tobago never had a chance to move anyway. But no one in the Trinidad Tobago Football Federation realized this. They didn't even try to get in one or two matches itself so that Trinidad Tobago could at least be in the top six.
I think when I listened to the program on my way down here, I think everybody have been calling a spade an agricultural instrument rather than a spade. I think we all know the whole question of Mr. Warner's involvement and the hullabaloo that has been going on, you know, would have been the main cause of uncertainty. Now, Mr. Warner is out. I saw the letter from FIFA. He cannot even act as an advisor, right, to the Federation. And I think, you know, the time is...
What can he do in football? Anything at all?
Well, he could come to watch a game.
Well, he could still watch a game.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if he could do that either, to be honest. Yeah. I wasn't sure. So he could still come to the game. He could still go in the stands.
Of course. And okay. What I say now, you know, I heard a lot of good points about, you know, the stakeholders and stuff. But there are people who wanted Mr. Warner out.
Mm.
Now Mr. Warner is out. And, you know, we are allowing the vacuum to exist.
No, but is it that people are allowing that? Or as we spoke before, the Trinidad Tobago Football Federation, how do you remove them? Alvin Coney said, call for a referendum and let all the clubs come together. But how easy is that to do? Are the clubs so united? Do some of the clubs exist?
Well, the way the federation is structured, the federation is made up of regional associations, six regional associations. Back in the days when Ken Butcher was Ken Butcher. it was clubs. And as Coach Vidal had said some weeks ago, it was, you know, the fight for one club, one
vote.
That has changed now to regional associations make up the federation, not clubs. So to come on the executive committee of the Football Federation, you must come out of a region. The clubs have the power in the regional associations. However, you know, this is a time for the executive committee, the current executive committee, to show that they have, that they are there more than on the behest of Mr. Warner.
Mm.
You know, this, the time has come for them to, you know, assume the true role.
Can they do that?
I think so. I think there are a lot of good people, you know, in the executive. I think that, you know, they need to, before we even talk about the stakeholders, they need to you know, start the process. I know that the Federation have been having talks with a company to market the games and to raise funding. But also, as quite rightly pointed out earlier on, you need somebody who could deal with the government because the input of the government is critical at this stage.
Let me bring in Tanti. Tanti, before I bring back in Ken Butcher, you would have heard, we're not talking veteran football here right now, right? Because you're, right now, you guys might do good against Barbados and Guyana, we never know, right? But we're talking Trinidad Tobago's senior team. Your thoughts, and I haven't looked at the draw yourself, Tanti.
Well, as the old saying goes, whatever you put in, you're going to get out of it.
Mm.
You can't get out what you don't put in. And if we have no practice matches, you don't expect to go out there and perform. It will be fluke again. Hoping. And as far as I'm concerned now, we are so late already in preparation and the turmoil that is going on now. We should start to look ahead and start to plan down the road and start from below. But with where we are now, we have to go through that.
David John Williams raised a good point, and we'll come back to Ken on that. He raised the point about whether deciding to skip 2014. In response, Alvin Henderson said quite clearly the Football Federation have decided no by hiring Otto Pfister. They suggested they are going after 2015. But all of that was done before the hiatus problem. All that was done before the problem with Jack Warner.
But, you know, I want to challenge Tansley a little bit. In that, at this level of the football, I don't care if you're playing in Europe, in America, wherever it is, you're playing at a particular level. And once I bring you back together, the coach is a man manager most of the time. He's going to come up with some strategies, some tactics, whatever it is, to make us win the games in a tournament. It's a tournament coach we have. And I feel that once you're at a particular level, you could pull me in here at very, very short notice, the caliber players, and we will play a good game. We are all Trinidadians. We play at different venues or whatever it is, different locations. But long ago, I mean, when we had to play SFL or whatever it is, and we come together, the combined team will be able to play and play a good brand of soccer. So that at international level, once you're an international person, if you take the best 11 players in the world and bring them together, in a matter of a couple of days, they just take a little sweat together, and they will come, you know, and they will play a good game of soccer. So I'm not saying that because we have not had these guys coming together is a challenge. I think the whole question of the practice matches, as it were, or for him to get a little acclimatized, because he really don't know the players. As a coach coming, he really doesn't know the players, and he would want to get in tune with them to pick the best possible from the lot. Other than that, he'd have to use the local guys to advise him, yeah?
Yeah, I want to add to that we don't necessarily have to play countries, eh? He can also go on a tour to South America, go on a tour to England with the local base players.
We need to get funding for that.
Right. But his the quality of the coach as a selector comes into play. Added to that, though, I like the suggestion of looking to 2018. You know, if it be my decision, I would even look beyond Mr. Fister. Although I have the greatest respect
for him.
So
why are you bringing him
for? No, but that was
The situation changed.
No, not you.
Right, yeah. The situation changed.
Yeah.
If finance is going to be a problem,
we
have Anton Corneille and Hudson Charles.
Yes.
We have a bunch of players who's had two World Cups under the belt. I think it can't get worse than that. I think the coach could grow, maybe even Fister in an advisory role, maybe, you know, or of the like. Mm. But I don't think it's a time for us to throw our hands in the air and say, well, what we could do? Eric Williams did.
Let me ask you a question. If, Andre, if you had $25 million, and this is most probably for Alvin and all those who might still be listening, you know, but not with us here right now. If it was your $25 million, your hard-earned $25 million in your pocket, would you take it now and invest it in a team for us to qualify? Precisely. I know I'm not taking my $25 million. And if I'm the custodian for the people's money, at this stage, if I were the Minister of Sport, I'm not taking my $25 million. And if I'm the Prime Minister, I mean, some people might be vexed with me out there, but you say, call a spade. If it's my $25 million, and this is the people's money outside there, based on where we are now, I am doing like David John Williams. Let us look at the World Cup after. And let us start, because coming out of this lot and going into to Mexico and Costa Rica, I mean, that looked like parting the Red Sea, you know.
And we could give the coach a directive.
With a bucket.
Yeah, we could give the coach a directive that this is the direction we go in. Focus on a younger cadre of players. It wouldn't be unethical to tell him, select player X, Y, or Z. But we could put his head in a policy direction. Oh. And I just want to add, and there's not a paid political announcement.
Mm.
You see why I talk about the politics? Why is not Ken Butcher in Parliament, right? With this kind of thinking, this is what the country needs at this stage. And not just in sport, not just in football. You know, we've seen a whole level of bankruptcy and a whole attitude to put throw your hands in the air rather than, okay, how do we combat this? How do we deal with this?
I want to add something here. The funded for the new coach, is it in place for his salary and so on?
As far as we were told, as far as we are told, obviously he's been here for the last 2.5 months. One hopes he has been paid.
Ask the TTFF employee, please.
Yes. Well, okay. Look at you. Yeah. Look, he's right
ask
here.
Ask the TTFF employee, please. Go ahead.
We asking you.
I want to answer it, and then I want to ask a further question.
Right.
Before I answer that, are you a TTFF employee? Are you getting paid?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I know to get my money.
So answer the question.
Right. The Mr. Fister was originally on the behest of Mr. Warner.
Yes.
Always, right?
Yes.
And at some point, it was felt that the government will take over.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There has not been a smooth transition. The government has not yet started to fund the program of the TTFF. In fact, I think somebody spoke about the letter received from the ministry.
Cutting back by 40% until
October, right?
Yeah.
So this is the thing. The absence of Mr. Warner now leaves the whole question of Mr. Pfister's salary in some sort of a limbo.
So he has not been paid?
He has been paid. But now we see a new situation.
No. Well, okay, let's clarify that there, because I like English.
Right.
So he had been paid until when?
I know he was paid up to the last month. I do not.
So until July?
Until June.
Sorry, we're in July, right. Yeah. Until June.
Can I add something here?
Yes.
I was told by the individual himself that Russell Atapi wasn't paid 18 months when he was fired. I don't know if that is true, but I got that information. And if that's the same situation that we're going into, forget it.
Well, if you don't know if it's true, you can't.
No,
say
when
that
I say,
you.
Well, it came from. I got it from the individual himself.
So, unless Russell is lying to you, at the time of his, I'm not talking after, I'm talking of the time. Oh, okay, you're talking about when he was laid off then.
He was not paid, that was in December. 18 months or 17 or months, something wrong with that. But well, he wasn't paid for many months.
Oh, you have a coach for 18 well, months the, and then paying him. What well, do you expect?
I am saying to you, yeah. If that is the situation, we are spinning top in mud. We may as well send the veterans team. Well, yeah.
We may as well send the veterans team.
Yeah, we are spinning top in mud in Trinidad and Tobago. And there being is no... We are laughing at it, but it's a serious situation.
No, I mean, very, very serious situation.
And this is why we went ahead. Steve David was at a meeting with us. He came straight from the airport. We didn't want to make it too big until we got everything together. So what you all are asking for is in place, and the foundation is asking everybody, all stakeholders, to come and let's get some sort of policy. How are we going to carry Trinidad and Tobago football forward? And this is as simple as it is. We are all involved in it now. Jamal, it's not Mr. Warner, the TFA, or whoever.
Will the Football Federation, from your knowledge, and I don't mean to put you on the spot. In fact, I mean to put you on the spot, but I just said that, right? Will the Football Federation cooperate, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Football Federation has reached the understanding that there must be life beyond Mr. Warner. Mm-hmm. As I said on this program earlier, I would not have liked to see him go out in the way that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Still, he resigned. But we consciously all have put our lives in this. Everybody in the room here, even this lady here, they've all made the sacrifices. And I think, you know, we all owe it to Trinidad and Tobago football to take up the mantle and take it forward. You know, we also have got to recognize the sovereignty of the Football Federation. But again, you know, if something needs to be fixed, you know, we've got to fix it. You know, if something needs help, we've got to help it. And, you know, this should be the attitude, this should be the mentality at this stage. However, I think from where Mr. Warner sits, though, I think he would be curious to look at it from the funding standpoint, and he quite possibly may be looking at it with a smile as well, because here I am, much maligned. Okay, now I am out. Who is going to pick up the mantle? And now we're hearing people calling on the government. We calling on corporate Trinidad and Tobago. And this is a critical issue. Now people have got to really come forward who have spoken in the past and act.
Well, I want to add, prior to Mr. Warner's involvement in soccer or football, football was going on for many, many years, since 1908. And football went on until Eric James and all the others, you know, what's his name from South?
Ken Gold.
Football was there. The high level funding was there, right? We have football going on from then until now. All of a sudden, Mr. Warner is not there, and there's no football, and we can't make. I refuse to accept that. We are all footballers. We are all managers. We have made our contribution here. So we have to get through. Every Trinidadian and Tobagonian. It's not about Jack One. It's not about TTFF. All footballers. We have had Steve David involved, Sammy Llewellyn, Leon Carpet. You name them.
But I think I understand what you're saying, Tantri, but the point is, how do you get these persons to be part of the decision-making policy? Because the Trinidad Football Federation I mean, they were re-elected last year. That would be what, a two-year term?
And there's the point, Andre. I think Tansley's point about the veterans, I see it, but passion alone won't get us there.
No.
We could just hue and cry and weep and wail.
We need the opportunity to have an input. If we never had the opportunity to have an input,
Well, you can't stay in City Hall and get opportunity.
We are calling. You are invited to. You are invited.
You have to get inside.
You have to get inside.
Let me tell you what's going to happen to me. I see that movie already.
Men
will go there. Half of the men will come and bad talk Jack Warner.
Let me finish.
Hold on 1 second.
The next half go talk about them times.
Yeah.
Right? And then, and then 9 hours go pass. And what? I say have the meeting.
I know.
But then you have to engage the TTFF.
Yes, of course.
We are inviting the TTFF to Tansy, listen to me.
I'm not waiting till I get old like all you know. I'm saying we have to talk. But we have to take the things that we have to run with the talk too.
But that's what we are doing.
All your foot sprint.
No, that's what.
All you want Bengi. That's the problem.
Bengi.
That's why we're here tonight.
Right.
I was coming down to see
all right, slippers. All right, I'm listening.
If you remember, boots have come out for good. Caledonia.
No, but Ken, the ideal thing is really for someone or someone's to directly get involved and be part of the Trinidad Football Federation to change the whole dimension, to make changes. Because here's the situation where Oliver Camps, with all due respect to him, is the president, Richard Gordon is the secretary, and then there are other people as well. I don't really remember all the other names, obviously.
Yeah.
But most of the names we don't know too well, honestly, on the committee.
Mr. Watson, Mr. Rudolph Thomas.
But you don't know them as well as the first two that I mentioned, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
So the question now is, can we depend on them to make a decision? And the answer would be no. Because, quite honestly, since the departure of Mr. Warner, they probably have made one statement since the departure of Mr. Warner. Apart from the statement that was made last week, where Mr. Camps said that he did attend the meeting of FIFA, the case may be. But apart from that, nothing much has been said. Nothing has been said about Trinidad and Tobago football. We had to wait on the Ministry of Sport to announce that the game has been cancelled. They announced it via press release, a long-winded press release, after we had broken the story about the cricketers not being paid and the swimming problems. They broke a long-winded story. And at the bottom of the story, they will put in, of course, that the game in Haiti, obviously, has been cancelled because of funding, as the case may be. What does that say?
Now, you know, I guess if we have a meeting and we have a lot of input from different quarters, we could really come up with a game plan. What we have to do is to sit down and strategize. You have to realize that Mr. Warner's situation arose rather quickly.
Mm.
1 minute Mr. Warner was the top of the heap and within a couple of weeks he was, you know, discarded. You have to understand that the Trinidad and Tobago Football Federation operated in a zone whereby they never really made decisions unless, as we said before, Mr. Warner sanctioned. I mean, that's a living thing. And that has been so for years. So here it is, something happening in a week or two, and the whole Football Federation is kind of rudderless, I would want to say.
Mm.
I could see them there grouping among themselves, trying to find a way. And therefore, what has to happen is a leader has to emerge within the football here now that is futuristic in thinking, very professional in the approach, very businesslike, because it is no longer business as usual, depending on a man to assist in funding. So just like how the other national sporting organizations would sit down and try to work out a strategic plan, build for the next 4 years, build for whatever it is, the football fraternity must do that now. We talk about bringing some structure by first having that stakeholders meeting. The stakeholders meeting, we must get somebody, a strong person, to moderate it, to keep it focused, because Jamal says there is going to really happen. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a strong person, you're going to hear people coming to the mic.
Let me
let me finish, and then you come. You will hear people talking about the good old days and they're reminiscing and all kind of thing, and then lunchtime come and then we're into the evening and we have nothing. So you need a strong moderator. We need to know what outcomes we're looking for coming out of that. And then having done that, even if the Football Federation, I wouldn't invite the Football Federation to that first meeting because it could get antagonistic. People want to blame camps and this and that. No. I think coming out of the stakeholders meeting, you might have another meeting and you say, okay, let us sit down with the Football Federation now and say, look, this is what came out of this stakeholders meeting. We'd like to sit with you guys and let us see how we could work and go forward. Some people, I guess, will resign. By the time the next election, you'll have changing of the guards and things like that. And we can take it forward. But we have to do it in a sober manner.
But the thing about resigning, far as my recollection is, the way it works, this current executive will be there until the end of the next World Cup.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that if we sit down and take it step by step like that, even with those who you have, you might very well find that they might change and move because there's a new leadership, a new direction.
No, but what can really that's a perfect world with all due respect, I understand. But what can really force them to resign? What can get them out? That's what we have to find.
No, you don't want to. I don't think you want to go with the thing to force them to resign. I think I used the example on this station already, where people operate and survive in a situation. Because of their bosses or whatever it is, they will survive in that situation. But you change the boss, you change the direction, and they will gravitate and they will amend and they will move to suit the new administration or they will fall out.
But no, I agree with you except for one part. You mentioned they will move with their new boss. Who is their new boss? Oliver Camps?
The new boss is the consultative approach that you'll be taking. When you come here and you say, okay, we have had maybe
I want to disagree, Ken, because with all respect, because a lot of the people who you're mentioning have been there for more than 10 years.
Wait,
feel they could change.
Okay, no. But I am of a different view. If you are, because as Shabazz say, there are one or two guys inside of there I know that very, very constructive.
Still all of this happened?
Yes, because I'm telling you again, people
can't be that constructive.
People survive because of situations.
No, you shouldn't survive. This is not about surviving, it's about trying to be
good.
Is it about surviving your own personal interest or trying to be good?
I am telling you from a practical standpoint.
You cannot be a constructive person and exist in an organization that has problems in it for more than 10 years.
What would have happened is they will go the way of Tansley and myself and all the others who came out, but there are guys who stuck it out and they're inside of there still.
Why?
Because they're trying. They're trying, but
you're not seeing no results.
No, but again, I would like to
come in a little bit. If you talk you were speaking about having a level-headed moderator, right?
Strong
moderator. And I'm going a little beyond now because I wasn't asked to say anything yet. This is just an impromptu thing here, but I think there's the right opportunity to let Trinidad and Tobago. Ruskin Mark has been asked to be the moderator. He's an ex-footballer, top man. He's respected in the country, and he has accepted. Ruskin, I know that I wasn't supposed to say anything, but I think now is as good an opportunity to talk about this. This is not about bashing Jack Warner or bashing anybody. This is about football going forward with all of us having a say in it and with respect, and we go along in the direction that we hope in Trinidad and Tobago football can. We were on top of the world. We have beaten Mexico and all these teams already.
A long, long, long time ago. Things have changed, eh?
Yes, they change.
Drastically.
But it's a change with us too.
Yeah.
We going backward all the time.
Yeah,
so we have to have a say now.
No, but this is with all due respect, this is exactly what Jabal said. With all due respect. I'm sorry tonight, I'm really sorry. But I really don't want to hear that trying to beat Mexico 25 years ago.
You're not sorry, but you're laughing. I'm sorry to say it's not relevant.
We beat them 30 years ago, but no, we can't walk with them.
But last week, how long ago, Grenada beat us.
Well, all right,
that
fine.
Never happens. Every
fine.
Team used to beat Grenada and St. Vincent. And I'm telling you, this is the reason now that we have to.
So we don't want to hear what we used to beat Mexico.
Yes, but we want to have an
input. We don't want to hear it.
But we could do it again.
I think,
but if we're going down, we're going down. So if we continue along the lines we have been going, we will make.
I feel
to
play some music instead. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
I think the points that Ken make, I don't think any, serious thinking person in the Federation would ignore this approach and these points. And I want to again support that and say also that, yeah, there are people in there. And, you know, people would have felt overshadowed by the dictatorial approach by Mr. Warner, right? And
so why did he resign? Why did he resign then?
Because, again, some people would feel that, look, they will stick it out. Look how,
why?
Okay.
Why would No, hold on. Why would you stick out something? This is just my asking. I'm just asking you a question, eh? You don't answer if you don't
want
to.
I go answer.
Why would you stick in something, as the case may be, where you can't have a say? What you want cannot be done. Everything is being done one way, and yet still the football is being ruined. But you stay. So far as I'm concerned, you are a contributor to the mess.
All right, so then Mr. Rowley and Ms. Beckles. Wait. Then Mr. Rowley and Ms. Beckles should have dropped out of the PNL.
But
it's an analogy.
Sometimes,
you stay in an organization because at some point you're not strong enough to fight, but you care about it enough to think, look, if I stick it out, because sometimes God does make the change, you know. Sometimes men just be so weak, right, that it's God just had to do something and bring about a change, right? So it have that time that you can't say the men in the executive don't care. You cannot say that, and you cannot say that they don't possess the ability to take it forward. They may have shown weakness. They, together with different interest groups, as Tansy talk about, I see in that we could still find a way forward. The technical side of it, in terms of the time, I agree totally with Ken, that if I be the person to spend the money, I put in a directive, hey, listen, this will be better spent in a long-term kind of situation. And who knows?
Give up a 20.
No. Who knows if that longer-term thinking could pick up some kind of form momentum.
And energy.
You know? And the people understanding, hey, look, we're going long-term. Support this team. Don't cry this team down because they have a difficult start or whatever. But as I think as Alvin Henderson said, football like that, you know, who would have think Ben Acker, with the limited time that he had, would have turned Ben Acker first practice game, he lost our club team, Naughty Stars 1-0. His second practice game, he draw with a team from Peru, Alianza, they qualify for the World Cup. Football is very, very, very strange.
I think thanks to a guy called Russell Atopi too. Played a major role in this.
I know a lot of people are on the telephone. I don't have much time, people, tonight, because we have a broadcast at 8 o'clock exactly. So we're just going to take a few calls. I'm going to take a very, very few calls at 622-3937. 622-3937. We've got Ken Butcher in studio with us, Tansley Thompson, and Jamal Shabbat. We're just going to take a few of your calls at 622-3937. We're talking about the future of Trinidad and Tobago's football. And, of course, with... go ahead. Good evening. Yes, good evening.
I called to stand up for the veteran footballers. Shaba, Jamal.
Yes, sir.
I only hope you know the Imam foot sprint too, eh?
Oh, God.
Okay, we're going to go back to the telephone and take a few of your calls at 622-3937. We're talking football in Trinidad and Tobago. We want to know your thoughts, people. What do you think? Do you think that Trinidad and Tobago can go forward under the current administration, or do you feel that a change is needed? And what about our World Cup chances, World Cup qualifying chances, I should say, given the draw made? Good evening. Yes, good evening.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
I am calling as a mother of a young footballer from the Interpol side. He has played with the national team, but as I listen to the gentleman there, it concerns me tremendously. And I think what Brother Jamal said about everybody wanting Jack Warner out and now no one, who is going to fund it? And these things take a lot of money. I think, you know, we think we are playing Dolly House. And, you know, it's amazing to hear the gentleman there. Yes, we stand on your backs as men who have been there before. But I think we are not being very realistic. The discussion is not a realistic one. And for young persons in football, I shudder to see where it will go. Thank you very much. And, you know, I don't have much more positive things to say. I'm not usually like that. But this was a very traumatic experience to listen to this discourse this evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling.
Good evening, yes, good evening.
Good evening, Andre, Tanzli, Jamara, Mr. Yeah. Butcher.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
I think change is needed. We know we have to change. I am one who would agree. When you think about the funding, the standard of football at this point in time, where we are to where we have to go, I think we reach a stage where we may have to put this project to rest and move forward, because I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing that being realistic. However, the meeting with Tansley and they, I tend to disagree respectfully in terms of, you see, Mr. Ruskin, Mark, all due respect to him, he played a little football. You are bringing persons there who may be knowledgeable, more knowledgeable than him, and can follow the line in terms of Ken, even Shabazz, Jamal, yes? Mm-hmm. So what you need, my respectful suggestion, I will go there with Mr. Vidal, see if, and you have Ken right next to you, Tansley. So when people start to throw these cards at you, you have people there who could say, hello, here we are now. We were there before. We're not going there. This is where we're going to go forward. Because I tell you, I don't believe Ruskin Mark could take all those cards that will come at him. Have a good evening.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Good evening. Yes, good evening.
Yes, gentlemen, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
One revenue-generating aspect we could look at is maybe in conjunction with the NLCB, we could have probably a football scratch game where some Toyota vehicles can be used as part of the prize. Something like that, where we could probably get the football-loving public of Trinidad involved in terms of a tripartite arrangement in terms of the football fans, the corporate Trinidad and Tobago, and the government to all get involved. And that's one way we could look at raising the revenue.
You have a wonderful night, sir.
Thank you very
wonderful
much.
Night.
You see the importance of stakeholders' contributions?
Yeah, wonderful night. Good evening, yes.
Good evening.
The problem
of leadership in Trinidad reminds you of the story of the parts of the body fighting for ownership. You know the story?
Yes.
The brain say he's the boss, the eye say he's the this, and you know it?
Yes.
And then the anus cock up,
and
everything shut down.
Yes.
That is the problem of leadership in Trinidad. Too many egos.
Yes.
Everybody wants, why somebody can't be just humble?
Yes.
Humble, and it go work. Somebody just had to shut up. Mm-hmm. As I that, or you enter the meeting, the rest piece of masking tape on your mouth. It's ego is the problem. And you can't no money, sell mango chow.
Yeah.
Mango chow in our age. This is so ridiculous. All right, thank you.
Okay, brother.
Good evening, yes, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, one, two things. I know we need a change. We have to change, and then it's a change from the head, the top of the head. And from my belief is that we have sponsors out there, you know. But we must stop looking at the government, really, for everything. We have a lot of people who like a sponsor, not the people who we are accustomed getting it from. Because I look at it, when election time come on, you see, you know, more sponsors you see be going on. How come in our sports in this country, we can't get the same people to be sponsoring sports? I was asking myself sometime, are we really patriotic, especially those who have the money? Are they really for Trinidad or just for themselves, just ripping the country? Because right now, we need them right now. And as the guy said, there's some Mr. Warner in there, where all the people will step up. Are they stepping up? That's what you can see.
Thanks, sir. Thank you very much. Good evening. Yes, good evening. Yes,
hello.
Good evening, sir. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
Evening.
Yeah, with respect to people's sponsoring, I think what people are interested in is some accountability. They have to account for all the monies that they collect. What they do with all these monies. Up to now, they can't produce the books. This is why you find people who could sponsor don't want to come up. They are accounting. What about this $34 million US they get for the World Cup and all of that? Nobody is saying nothing about that. So they have to get some accountability before people come.
Thanks, sir. Thank you very much. Good evening. Yes, good evening. Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Right. I'd just like to make a few points about the state of Trinidad and Tobago football regarding the senior team. Now, first of all, we want to go back to just about a year ago. Now, the team has been inactive for almost 9 months. It was the same thing after the World Cup. Our last game against Mexico was on October the 14th,
yes,
2009. Mm-hmm. The next game that we played was on May the 5th, 2010. Now, after that game, which was against Chile, when we flew over to Chile, it appeared that we were about to go on another barren period. And what happened was the national team at that time, under my own management, made a request to become autonomous, somewhat autonomous, because FIFA dates were rolling around. We weren't playing any games. So I, at the time, had asked for permission to take it upon myself as team manager to organize games as, you know, more or less as the national team, with it as almost like an autonomous entity from the TTFF. We played against Antigua on a non-FIFA date. Then we played against Jamaica on a FIFA date. Then we went to Panama. We played against Belize. We were invited to Antigua. We went to Guyana. We played against St. Lucia. Then we went back to Jamaica. Now, at that time, even though, I mean, yes, the whole country focused on the result, the draw against Belize and the loss against Panama, but the team was getting to a plateau which should have been sustained. Because after those series of games, what happened was we scored our highest, we had our highest scoring game in almost 4 years, when we beat St. Vincent 6-2. After that, we beat Guyana, and then we beat Haiti. We had our best ever victory against Haiti. We beat Haiti 4-0. And we had never beaten Haiti by such a margin. Now, what happened after this? Of course, we went to the Digicel Cup, and we lost to Grenada, okay, which was, I mean, two times straight we were knocked out of the Digicel Cup by Grenada. And we had a bad game against Cuba, and then, of course, we beat the host Martinique. So the last time Trinidad and Tobago played was on November 30th last year. Now, this is the mistake that we make all the time. Let's look at Trinidad and Tobago, and let's look at Haiti. Haiti have not missed a single FIFA date ever since they got beaten 4-0 by us. They didn't even qualify for the Digicel Cup, more or less the Gold Cup. But they kept playing, kept going. They played against Argentina. They even went to Qatar, which is a nation that's about to host the World Cup. They beat Qatar in their own country, which is obviously a boost, you know, to beat a country that's about to host the World Cup in a few years. And Haiti have kept playing. We keep closing up shop every single time. And I think of all the times that we do this, the last time we did it, when we played on November 30th, that was the biggest mistake of all. Because we had some players who were up and coming, some true rising stars. Kevin Molino was starting all of our games. Kevin Molino just scored the winner in a friendly game against Newcastle, which is a premiership club in England. Kevin Molino couldn't make it to the under-23 game in Dominica. He scored the winner against Newcastle. We had Jovan Jones. Jovan Jones was 17 years old when he first trained with the senior national team. We had Jamal Day, who scored in Antigua against St. Lucia. We had Lester Peltier. I mean, Lester, 22 years old. We had so many players under Russell Atterby who were 19, 20, 21, 22 years old, who were getting a feel. I mean, so it was a very young team that beat Haiti 4-0. It was a very young team that beat St. Vincent 6-2. It was a very young team that lost 1-0 to Jamaica in Jamaica when Jamaica was at their peak, when Jamaica were beating Mexico and Honduras and all those teams.
So what's the solution, Mr. Mohammed? What's the solution?
The solution is, it's simple. One word. One simple word. Consistency. That's all. Why is it that every time we get knocked out of a tournament, the entire team is disbanded, everyone is sent home?
So, can I ask you a question as a former employee, are you still an employee with Trinidad and Tobago Football Federation?
Well, my contract as manager was terminated in January, okay, along with the entire technical staff.
So I can say former.
And they still have not hired a new manager as yet.
So I can call you former for the time being, right?
Of course.
Right. So as a former employee with Trinidad and Tobago Football Federation, do you believe that there is enough quality within that body right now, in the absence of Jack Warner, to make positive decisions in the benefit of football in Trinidad and Tobago?
But of course there is the quality there to make the decisions, but the decisions are not being made.
Mohammed. Yeah. Maybe I'm slow tonight, but something is contradictory in that statement, though, because if there is equality, and if the equality exists, but the decisions still have not been made, then something is wrong.
Well, you see, let's go back to the first statement I made, right? That when we played against Mexico on October 14th, 2009.
But because of time, because I'm running out of time, and we have to go for broadcast quickly. Is the quality there again? I'm giving you a second chance. You know that's like how the football first time I give you a second chance to be manager. I give you a second chance.
Yes, the quality is there, but there has to be okay. The decision that needed to be made, the right decision, was to put things in my hand to organize the games. Right? I personally organized about 14 matches, maybe a little less, between 10 and 14 matches.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Mr. Mohit.
Those are the kinds of decisions that need to be made.
All right, thanks a lot. As we go quickly, he was your colleague at one time, a former employee. Just like, but no, you are still, he's former, so you still. As you go, Jamal, find your thoughts going forward. Anyway, makes no difference.
Yeah, I think the Federation could be well advised coming out of this program. You listen to the ideas from some of the callers. To engage in some type of consultative process with the country and, you know, try to see how we could go forward. I think that we must approach it with confidence.
Tansy Thompson?
Well, I would like to say that we should remember the forum that we are hoping to have on the 4th. Well, the date is set.
4th of September.
4th of September, and we're asking all stakeholders to come with your ideas, and well, we will have something to present too. How the way we see it, and most footballers, all footballers, all stakeholders, they're invited at this. Hopefully, once it's confirmed with the city corporation, it would be at the city hall on the 4th of September, that's Sunday, from 10 until 3 or so.
No problem. Again?
I think that we're in transition. I'm hopeful, and I'm sure that the football public will come out and support the new transition that is taking place.
All right, let me thank everyone. Let me also thank Alvin Cornillo, we spoke with on the phone. Thank you very much, David John Williams, as well as Dr. Alvin Henderson. This has been iSport Saturday. Thanks to Orlando Cibro. And, of course, a special thanks to Mr. Small, a good friend of Orlando Cibro. He promised us something in the future, he told me, and so I had to say that. Good night.
To iSports, an i95.5 sports presentation.